Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, and welcome to My Big Idea, the weekly podcast from ASOS. I'm Danielle Radoichin, and today I'm talking to Hermione Taylor. Hermione is founding director of Do Nation, an online platform that helps people and businesses make small changes in their daily lives to help combat climate change. Here's Hermione's big idea. Hi, Hermione.
Hello.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
So it's Wednesday today. How's your week going?
It's a busy week. It's been a very busy, slightly too manic week, to be honest.
What's been going on?
I organised last night a sustainability social for a bunch of kind of peers and friends who work in the sustainability space. We've had lots of clients launching and a few big presentations and workshops coming up over the next day. So
what was the point of doing that social?
The point of that social was to pull together, well, get people together from who work in the space, but from different companies, give us a chance to chat in a very informal way. I often go to events, more kind of formal corporate events, and see friends or people that pop up time and time again and say, oh, we should go for a drink sometime. And it's just nice to get together.
So it's sort of friends and
And so
work,
the two
associates.
Of us, yeah, people I know through work, but who work in the broader sustainability space. And it's just nice to have an informal way to have a drink and get together and share ideas that isn't necessarily with your direct colleagues.
Yeah, that makes sense. So Do Nation is your company.
Yeah.
Tell us a bit about what it is, what you do.
So Do Nation is all about action and doing, funnily enough. We really believe that our actions do matter, and cliche as it may sound, they add up to make a big difference, both to our personal health and well-being and to that of the planet, really importantly. We also kind of see that our actions are the best way to show our decision makers that we care and that we've got an appetite for change. Actions speak louder than words, as they say. So what we've built with Do Nation is an online platform where anyone can make a pledge or run a campaign to raise pledges from their friends, family or colleagues. And the pledges are all simple actions like cycling to work, wasting less food, washing your clothes at 30 degrees.
So the point is it's all sort of small, doable stuff rather than you need to completely overhaul your life.
Exactly. Bit by bit, step by step. We provide a menu of actions people can choose from to make it really simple, give them ideas. They can tailor them a bit and take it from there, and then we give the advice around that.
Where did this idea of yours come from?
So it all started about 7 years ago when I had just finished a master's in environmental policy, and I decided to cycle to Morocco at the end of it. Wasn't quite ready to go straight into the career path, and I wanted one final adventure before I got stuck in. Realised that cycling to Morocco was going to be a pretty epic adventure, challenge and adventure. And I wanted to use that to raise support for sustainability, which was a cause I was really passionate about. I realised that the traditional thing to do would be to ask friends to donate money to my chosen environmental charity, but I felt pretty uncomfortable asking them for money, partly because a lot were students, they were broke, it was the end of the credit crunch, and people were just tired of endless sponsorship requests. But mostly, I realised that actually the environment just needs people's action more than it needs their money. And there was something futile about asking people to donate like 20 quid when they were then just going to hop in the car and drive to the supermarket, leaving their lights on and throw all the food away.
And were you talking about this with someone, or was there something that you were just mulling over in your head while cycling in Morocco?
So I'd been mulling it over in my head for a while, and actually, in all honesty, I'd first had the idea back during my undergrad, and I'd talked to a few people about it then, and everyone was like, that would never work. Why would anyone do that? But a few years later, the kind of appetite and the interest in sustainability was rising.
What made you, when people were saying to you that will never work, why did you think they were wrong? And how did you have that belief in yourself?
They were saying, I had made a pledge for a sustainability scheme at university. This was on my year abroad in Vancouver, and a friend had wrote me into signing up to the sustainability pledge. And at the time, I was a bit sceptical about it, like all of my friends were when I suggested this idea. But I saw over time that it actually did change the way I thought about things, and it put sustainability in the forefront of my mind and the actions that I could take. And ultimately, it's brought me to here, running my own business in this space. And that really was the starting point.
And what took it from idea to reality?
So the thing that took it from idea to reality was very much when I decided to cycle to Morocco and I had the opportunity to test it out. I still wasn't sure that it would work. I still kind of heard the scepticism of my friends, but I wanted to try it out myself. And so we did that. And two of us cycled there and asked our friends to support us by pledging to eat less meat, use reusable water bottles, change to a renewable energy supplier, all sorts of actions. And 216 people supported us, which blew my mind, really. And what blew my mind even more was when I got back and I calculated, being a bit of a data nerd that I am, I calculated the impact that all of those actions had had, how much carbon they'd saved together. Those 216 people had saved as much carbon as 84 flights from London to Morocco. Well, obviously,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So you use that kind of data to then work with clients?
Yeah. So I kind of, first off, seeing that and seeing the very real reaction it had with on our friends, I decided to scale it up. Initially, it was just a non-profit working with individuals. We didn't have clients per se. We turned it into a site that anyone could use to raise support for their own challenges. And we had people doing half marathons and cycle rides and using it for birthday lists, gift lists and things. And then because we were capturing that data, as you say, on the impact that we were having, companies started to ask us if they could use it.
What was the first client you got?
So the first company to show interest was Innocent Drinks. And they said, oh, this is great. I was trying to get them to do the London Marathon. And actually, one of the sustainability manager's husband ended up being our first user because he was running the London Marathon in Eastie Nation. And that's what I was aiming for. But they said to me at the time, like, oh, I think this would work really well as a competition between teams of employees. We don't want to run any marathons or anything. And I was like, no, that's a critical element of it. You've got to do that. and insisted that if they were going to use it, they had to do some physical challenge to kind of inspire the pledges. And then, no, I think team competition would be really powerful. And I was like, no, I don't think it would work. And basically turned them away.
Okay.
And 3 years later, or 4 years later, we had actually, I'd realised the error of my ways. We'd started to work with other companies in that way. And Innocent ran a campaign finally last year.
Fantastic. And now how many clients do you work with at the moment?
We've worked with just over 50 companies or organisations, ranging from quite a few universities to people like Innocent Drinks and Puckerty to Siemens Energy and Arup Engineering.
Have any of those not worked or not had the results that you hoped for?
There have definitely been ones that...
And how do you deal with that?
Well, it's always disappointing, I think, from both angles. For us, you could say, well, they've paid us great, but for us, it's all about the impact, and it's great that we're getting paid because that allows us to do what we're doing.
And presumably, most of them do work because your portfolio seems to be expanding.
Do work and come back. Usually, when they don't work, it's a case of trying to figure out why they don't work and take the lessons from that, which are really valuable.
And what's your team set up like now? Where's the office?
A tiny team. We're a team of two of us in the core team, based in one of our investors' offices, which is a kind of fashion tech startup. So we're in quite a fun, buzzy office, which is nice, shared with lots of other companies. And we've got a wider network of people that we work with and partners who help us deliver our work.
But and how do you use social media to inform what you do? Because I can imagine that's probably quite a big part of it.
It is.
Like, if you didn't have social media, it would be quite a different enterprise, right?
It would be. You know what? We were a bigger team earlier in the year, or last year, and we did a lot more social media then. We've scaled it back quite a lot, and we do, and I think social media is super important, but it's also can be a real time sucker. And so there's a real balance to strike, and we're trying to get that and actually not relying on it too much. But our users use it a lot when they make a pledge, sharing their pledges on social media.
Which platform are they on mainly?
So a lot of it is on Facebook and Twitter. It depends whether there are corporate clients, so companies using it, then they tend to use those things less. It's more Twitter, a bit of Instagram. Innocent, lots of them were using that. Mm. But at the engineering firms, it's more the kind of internal Siemens Energy. They've got their internal social network that's just...
And like for people who are interested in this kind of thing, are there certain social media accounts or hashtags that are good to check out?
So there are some... great accounts. We cover so many different actions that each of those has loads of different streams. But for other organisations and accounts that kind of cover the whole broader spectrum of sustainability and sustainable business, I would say Collectively is a really interesting one. They're pretty cool, sharing lots of positive stories about cool businesses and innovations that are working in this space. So that's Collectively. And obviously Guardian Sustainable Business is a big one. And Tom Idle has just, he used to work at 2Degrees and he runs a thing called Narrative Matters and runs a podcast around better business. It's called The Better Business Show. And that's a good one too.
That sounds great. And you mentioned The Guardian. How do you keep up with the latest developments in environmental issues, climate change?
So, a combination of too many email threads. So Guardian Sustainable Business, Sustainable Brands is a big one. Eddie. There are lots of kind of mailing lists that I'm on to get the regular news. But I find the best thing is events and meeting people and just actually talking to people.
How do you get invited to those events if you're just starting out?
That's a really good question. There's a whole mixture of events. There are a lot of really expensive, more exclusive events that are hard to get invited to, but there are a lot that you actually just need to have on your radar and get tickets to. They're not kind of invite only. So getting out there, and as soon as... whatever city you're in, there'll be networks of events, meetups, really good for finding things, and Eventbrite, just searching. Once you start going to one, you'll hear about another and another and another, and it scales.
Yeah. That's cool. So you've done a TEDx talk.
Mm.
How did that come about?
That came about through Twitter.
Do tell.
There you go. It was a new TEDx called TEDx Wandsworth that was setting up, and they started following me and Do Nation on Twitter. So I thought, oh, interesting, and looked at their profile, and the theme of their TEDx was Be the Change, which is spot on with what we're about. So we started chatting over Twitter, and then they invited me to come and speak, which was great.
And what's it like doing a TEDx talk?
Doing a TEDx talk is tough. It's so funny. All my friends, I mean, as a child, I was not a presenter. All through school, I was that person that sat there cowering in the corner, terrified that I'd be asked to answer a question or read out loud. I hated it. Really, really hated it. And even through my master's, I was the only person in a class of 140 that never once asked a question, because I just was terrified about speaking in public. But when you are talking about something you've been doing for so long, and really, quite genuinely, no one knows as much about as me with Do Nation itself, it's a lot easier. And when you've got that passion, you just have got to get over that fear. So there was a lot of practice involved in the TEDx. My friends, when they saw it, were like, whoa, you seem so...
Do you learn it off by heart?
Yeah, I spent months... I mean, I had to submit the final draft of it about a month before, word for word. We had to submit the first draft about 3 months before, and that was a big process of iteration. So by the time it came to the day itself, I mean, that evening, I was all night, I was dreaming, waking up, saying my lines, because I'd been preparing them so endlessly. It drove me mad.
How was it received?
It was received.
Quite a big audience there.
Yeah, about 100 people. Yeah. It was a really interesting mix of people, and it was received really well. It was. We had quite a few people signing up to use Donation afterwards, which is the ultimate aim, to inspire people to actually take action. And yeah, it was a really... The kind of people that go to a TEDx is super friendly and kind of open to, to these things.
What did you do afterwards to celebrate?
Oh, I had a stonking cold at the time. I went back and got into bed with some Lemsip. Yeah.
Anyway, that's super impressive. I don't think we've had someone on My Big Idea who's done a TEDx before. And I guess I think what I wanted to ask you as well was, for someone like myself and lots of people who listen to this podcast who are interested in fashion, what is the first, what's a small, easy change someone interested in fashion can make towards helping the environment?
Oh, that's a great question. And that's actually one of our most popular pledges is fashion passion. Dress yourself sustainably, we call it. I think looking where your clothes come from is super important.
So checking the label. That means where should you look? Where's good clothes to come from?
So there's, it's not so much the country they're made in, it's more how they're made. So there's a few things to think about, but the materials themselves, cotton is one of the world's biggest users of water and also pollution, creators of pollution. So organic cotton wherever you can, and also how it's made. So it's fair trade fashion is a growing movement. And so many clothes now are made in sweatshops, which we all shut our eyes to and try and ignore, but it's really important. And there's loads of awesome clothes out there that are made sustainably from ethical manufacturers, out of organic cotton and other materials.
Are there any labels that you personally look out for?
So People Tree is one of my favorites. One of my staples. I think you stock it on ASOS.
I think we do.
Rapa Nui as well. They actually did a podcast the other day on the Better Business Show that I mentioned earlier. They're an organic t-shirt company that publish their entire supply chain. So if you really want to get into the detail of what's on your label, like, it's more than a label. You can look at everything. But they're great. And there are some great more and more shoes as well out there. That shoes are a real issue, because clothes, at least you can take to a charity shop at the end of their life or end of your life with them. But shoes, no one really wants to buy secondhand. So thinking about where they come from is super important. And making sure you just love your clothes and use them and don't chuck them too quickly.
And then finally, where are you hoping to take Donation in the next few years? What would be a big mark of success to your mind?
So, as I say, our actions matter, but they make a big difference when done together. So for us, that togetherness, that scale is really, really important. We want to reach hundreds of thousands of people over the next 3 years. We want to really build the next generation of leaders around sustainability, help that next future leaders to use Donation as a tool to develop and demonstrate their leadership skills through running campaigns, whether that's in their workplace, encouraging their colleagues to pledge, or through their friends, and really showing that bottom-up route, so of the young people in businesses leading the change. And it's scaling that way to reach hundreds of thousands of users and pledges.
Okay, well, that sounds very impressive indeed. And thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It was a real pleasure.
It was a pleasure.
Thanks.
Hope I haven't waffled too much.
Not at all. That was Hermione Taylor talking about her big idea. I'm Danielle Radoichin. Tune in next week to hear my next guest. And don't forget, you can download previous episodes on your favourite podcast app. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.